This passage from the Gospel of Matthew in the first chapter is the Annunciation as seen through the eyes of Matthew. For almost all of us, when we hear the word the Annunciation, we think of the first part of St. Luke's Gospel, the story of the angel Gabriel coming to Mary in Nazareth and announcing the good news. Well, Luke writes his story through the eyes of Mary. Matthew writes his story through the eyes of Joseph. In Matthew's Gospel, Mary stands in the shadows. So this morning, as we stand on the very eve of Christmas, let's take a moment of time to view the story through a father's eyes, not a mother's eyes, through Joseph's eyes, not Mary's eyes. We're told in the opening part of the story, when Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. What precisely is the relationship between Joseph and Mary? The scriptures use the word engaged in English. And it really is a fairly poor word to describe the relationship. Fact is, though, there is no English word to adequately describe the condition of the relationship of Mary and Joseph. Marriage among the people of Israel was a process. Usually, marriages were arranged. And they were arranged when the young man and the young woman were quite young, maybe just having reached the age of puberty. Parents would arrange the marriage, and then parents would come together, and the two young people, the future bride and groom, would be present, and then the authorities would be there. And the papers would be signed. Even to this day, the papers are important. And in a Jewish marriage, the paper is known as the ketubah. It is the bond of marriage. Very often it's a very elaborate paper. It's done on parchment. And quite often a Jewish husband and wife will have this framed, and it will occupy a prominent place in the home. Well, when Mary and Joseph were very young, the ketubah was signed. And from that moment on, they were married. They were husband and wife. But the marriage was not consummated until the husband had so established himself in a profession and economically that he could truly take his wife into his own home. And sometimes that took a number of years. Now, it's precisely at that point that the story occurs. It's in that midpoint of the marriage rite. Joseph and Mary are husband and wife, but the marriage has not been consummated. So Joseph assumes that the father of this child is someone other than himself. We're told that Joseph is a just man and that he sought to spare his wife disgrace. And so he sought to divorce her informally. That adjective is very important. Joseph is a just man. In Scripture, just and holy mean the same thing. And the just person, the tzaddikim in Hebrew, were the people who understood and embraced all of the law and all of the tradition, but not slavishly, recognizing that God was above the law and above the tradition, and that the law and the tradition were simply a guide to living a just life. Jesus is going to affirm that kind of person in the Scriptures. In the stories in the New Testament, Jesus stands against the scribes and the Pharisees who take the law to be absolute. And Jesus says to his disciples, unless your holiness, unless your justice surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Joseph is the example of the disciple. Joseph is the paragon Jesus has asked his disciples to become. Joseph decides to divorce Mary. And the law allows him two ways of doing it. He could either do it publicly with a trial, or he could not engage in a public trial and do it informally. He chooses to do it informally. He chooses to respect her and to not cause her disgrace. So he makes up his mind, this is what he will do. For once he divorces her, then he frees her to marry the real father of the child. Then we're told that in a dream, an angel of the Lord comes to Joseph and says to him, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child that she has conceived is by the Holy Spirit. The angel says, Joseph, you have to marry this woman. You don't have any choice. This child must come from the line of David. This child must succeed to the throne of David. And the only way that can happen is through you. You are of the house of David. And if this child is to be of the house of David, you must be his legal father. If you want to know who the father of a child is, you don't ask the mother. She may lie. You ask the man because there is little chance at all that a man would assume that responsibility if it were not true. Everyone knows who the mother is. Often there's question as to who the father is. The angel says, the child to be born will be a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The proof of paternity was the right to name the child. And so the angel says to Joseph, you must be the legal father to this child. You must give the child the name. And the name you must give him is the name of Savior, Jesus. For he will be Savior to his people. It's an old name. The first time that name appears in the scriptures, it appears in the book of Genesis. And it is the name of the person who ultimately brings the people of Israel into the promised land. It is Joshua. Joshua is the name root from which Jesus comes. The angel then says to Joseph, "This child has been conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit." The angel makes it very clear to Joseph that Joseph is the legal father of the child, but Joseph is not the biological father. The biological origin of life is from God. It is the power of the Spirit that has created this child. That same Spirit that hovered over creation at the very beginning. That same Spirit that descended upon Jesus in the Jordan River. That same Spirit that fell upon the church at the moment of Pentecost. That same Spirit that raised Jesus to life. That same Spirit that fills us in the sacraments of baptism and confirmation. It is that Spirit, the Spirit of God, who is the source of this child's life. And so the story is told. Jesus Christ, Son of David, Son of God. The most primitive confession of faith in the church. You and I heard it in the second reading from the letter to the Romans. Paul affirms Jesus Christ, Son of David, Son of God. Well, the dream is over. Joseph wakes up, and Joseph does the two things the angel asks him to do. He takes Mary as his wife into his own home. And he names the child Jesus. He acts immediately. There's no time to think about it. There's no time for a second opinion. There's no time to wrestle with it. This is what has been revealed, and Joseph, being a just man, will do it, and will do it now. And that is the lesson for the fourth Sunday of Advent. The first Sunday of Advent, the lesson was that we were to wake up. We were to live in the present moment. The second Sunday of Advent, the lesson was we were to shape up. We were to recognize it's not about me. It's not about my agenda. It's not about what I want. It is in the hand of God. The third Sunday of Lent, we were told to cheer up. Once I can accept the fact that it's not about me, then I can truly look for the hand of God in life. The fourth Sunday of Lent, today the message is, hurry up. No time to dawdle. When the voice of God is heard, it is time to act, as Joseph did. Last night when I preached this, some child came up and said, "I don't think hurry up is good enough. I think it should be giddy up." Well, whatever it is, it's time to act. As we reflect and pray over this Christmas season, try to view the story through the eyes of Mary, but also try to view the story through the eyes of Joseph. You know, it's usually the responsibility of bishops to name parishes, to name communities. And there are hundreds of communities in the United States named the Church of the Annunciation. And I would bet you every single one of them is named after the Annunciation of Mary. Well, and this will never happen. If I were a bishop, I would name a church the Church of the Annunciation and insist it was the Annunciation of Joseph. So when you go home and you arrange your scenes, the crib scene, the nativity scene, don't stick Joseph in the back. Sometimes he's even stuck behind the cow. Move him up front where he belongs. It is only through him that the child is the son of David, as it is only through the Holy Spirit that the child is the son of God. We are among the people who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ.
Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come.
For families, that they may find comfort in time of sorrow, strength in time of trial, and make Jesus the center of their lives, we pray.
Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come.
For parents in our community who await the birth of a child, may they find God's presence in the wonder of childbirth, we pray.
Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come.
For victims of rumor and gossip, may they find in us defenders of their rights and reputations, we pray.
Maranatha,
may the poor and disadvantaged, the lonely and the abandoned, experience the Lord's consolation through the efforts of the people who minister to them this Christmas. We pray.
Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come.
And we pray for those who are sick. Andrea Wenker, Nate Thorson, Shirley Casillas, Moriah Tift, that God might grant healing, we pray.
Maranatha, come Lord Jesus.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.